Good morning. It is great to see you back, and this looks like an Easter crowd to me. It's been so empty for the last 14 weeks, and we're glad you're here to begin our 8 o'clock worship this morning. I want to reflect today on blessings, and this is our prayer time, and I'd like for you to be thinking about what are you blessed by, for, with, this morning. How has God blessed your life, and how do you feel blessed today? Or maybe you haven't thought about it, and you might need a little time to think about, but how is God blessing my life? And it's Father's Day, and it's quite possible that some of your blessings have come through your father, and if not, it is quite possible that you've had blessings through other men in your life that have been as a father to you. And so we want to take a moment and count that blessing for sure today, the fathers and mentors in our life that have made such a profound difference. So I did invite you at this time to pray with me. Dear God, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for the fathers that are present, the fathers on live stream. We thank you for this institution that you established. We pray a prayer thanking those that have blessed our lives in ways seen and unseen. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for the blessings of life, this day, freedom, the spirit that you give us, the soul that you give us. We thank you that you have given us life, and this life comes from you. We thank you for the life that comes in Jesus Christ, this abundant life, and the blessing of salvation, the blessing of forgiveness, the blessing of the promise of heaven. We thank you for our specific blessings that are on our minds today. We are indeed blessed, and we thank you. We pray your hand to especially be upon those in our country and world that are in peril today. We especially think about those who have lost loved ones with COVID-19 and continue to lose loved ones. We remember those that closer in our community that have passed away, and those who have been under the threat of this virus for 3 months now. And as we reopen our time of worship, we pray for a hedge of protection, that this place of worship might be a safe place for all. We pray that you will keep our community safe, and we thank you for your hand upon our lives. And when trouble comes, we are grateful that you help us through the waters, they do not overwhelm. You help us through the flames, they do not burn or consume us. And now we thank you for all of those who serve in our community. We are grateful for those that make sacrifices and those who really make our lives so much better because of what they do. We think of those in the military. We think about paramedics. We think about those in the hospitals. We think about our police officers and all of those that serve in so many different ways. And we always think about wanting to do the right thing and justice. And so we pray that we will seek your light and truth in all things, and that the teachings of Jesus will help us and lead us and enlighten us today. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hallelujah. And as we continue to worship the Lord, He is our precious Lord. He is the one who gives us promises, and we know that His promises are true because great is His faithfulness. Another great hymn of our faith. I invite you to stand as you are able, and let's sing and share together, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Let's share it together.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. Faithfulness.
And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. Be seated, please.
Church, we now come to a time of tithes and offerings. We continue the celebration and the worship. And I wanted to share something very close to my heart as the nation is in a climate that makes us feel separated, isolated, that makes us feel at times that we are rivals with one another. I have been encouraged in the sphere of youth ministry by coming together with some other local churches. And I wanted to thank you that your giving and your generosity in a season such as this is allowing our youth ministry, our ministry for teenagers and students, to thrive. We have begun a video series, a collaborative series between six churches, and the statement that we are giving to our community is that we are not in this alone. We are united, and we are one church. So thank you for allowing something like this to take place. Thank you, as always, for your consistent giving. I am blessed by it, and we, as a church, we are blessed by it. For those who have been joining us on live stream, you may be familiar with our ways that you can continue to give. We have three ways that you'll see on your screen before you this morning: through our website, through the mail, or by our texting option. And this morning, for those who are with us in person, live, we have a new way to give this morning. At the end of our service for social distancing and safety, we will be collecting an offering, and we'll be collecting connection cards. Or, no, we won't, because we don't have any written materials. Sorry, Brad. We will be collecting an offering at the end of the service on your way out. So just pay attention for that at the end of the service. But again, thank you for continuing to bless this church. Thank you for your participation in all that God is doing for us. Would you join me for prayer? God, what a privilege to be a part of all that you are doing. Thank you for showing us the way to goodness, showing us the way to peace and to truth, for giving us a glimpse of heaven on earth. It is a joy that we continue to give, that we continue to contribute to you, God. Thank you. We give you our praise and our love this morning. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Pat, for reading that important passage from Genesis chapter 12. I do want to extend to all the fathers a happy Father's Day, whether you're here or whether you are on live stream. We are glad that you are who you are, and pray God's blessings on you today. In the spirit of Father's Day, I wanted to preach a message at all of our services today that will be about the best gift that you can give your children. You know, Father's Day is a day to get gifts from your children, and I've been hearing from my children already today, and it's a great time to receive gifts from your children. But what about the gift that we as fathers can give to our children? And if you're not a father, which many of you are not, this message I think you'll find very practical and has applications beyond the institution of fatherhood. It's some truth that I think we'll find rooted in the scripture and also very practical in our everyday life. So as I prepare for the message, would you join with me in a prayer? Dear God, we thank you for this day that you've given us. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, over the past 14 weeks, I've preached to basically hardly anybody in the pews, if anybody. So in my imagination, you were cheering during all those sermons. So I don't want you to let me down today, okay? And I don't think clapping spreads COVID-19. So if you're looking for a way to engage some energy into the service, is that right, Brad? Clapping doesn't, and thumbs up doesn't do anything either. So, to the message. You know, this is a football crazy place. It's amazing, really, all the different teams that people pull for. And you know, you can tell a lot about a person's mood by the way they say their team's war cry. So, for instance, if you say the words, which I try not to say much, "Roll Tide," you can tell, you know, how Alabama did the day before by the way the fan says "Roll Tide" or "Roll Tide." You know, you can tell. You can tell the Gators, their excitement. Go Gators, and the Chomp, of course. And you can just tell. You can tell with the Seminoles and the Gold Knolls. And I see the arms waving here. I knew it would. And their LSU coach that did so well last year in the national championship season. You know, it doesn't matter what he says. At the end of his interview, he says, "Go Tigers." He always leaves with those two words. It doesn't matter if he's talking about anything, "Go Tigers." And of course, my loyalty is with Auburn. And, you know, you can tell a lot by the inflection of the war eagle. You know, you can tell the good days, you can tell the great days, you can tell the down days. You can just hear it by the way you say "war eagle." You know, it just does. But there's another word that I think unites us together, and it is a word that we can also read in and see in a person's soul. It is the word "blessed." Blessed. Blessed has a lot of different inflections as well. Blessings. Blessed. Jesus's Beatitudes, the word is usually stated "blessed." Blessed, blessing, blessed. Or as we say in the South, we actually invent a word, B-L-E-S-T, blessed. How are you doing? Blessed. You'll hear it. Maybe you've said it. But there's a lot behind this word, and it has biblical significance. It's not a word we came up with. It has biblical significance. And it starts in this 12th chapter of Genesis, where we read these important words. That the word "blessed" is used often. And the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Did we read all of those teachings on blessed and blessing? It's a significant word in the scripture. Blessed is a window into our soul, if you will. Now, the problem, there's always a problem in a sermon. You're preaching for blessings, but what is it that works against our blessings? And that would obviously be curses and jinxes. And that is even mentioned in that Genesis passage. The Lord said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And that's quite a teaching, isn't it? That we not only live with blessings, but we live with curses and jinxes and all kinds of evil associated with curses. The other day, about a month ago, I bought a ladder. Been doing some improvements in the yard and needed a ladder. And bought a 10-foot ladder. You know, there's not a cool way to carry a 10-foot ladder. So I'm carrying it and making my way to check out. And I'm thinking about the superstitions of the ladder, not walking under it. And the only register that was open when I got up there was number 13. And I thought, not going to push my luck here. I don't believe in curses or jinxes, but I'm not pushing the luck here. So I waited about 4 or 5 feet at another cash register that wasn't 13. Well, we laugh, but there are persons that feel like they're living under a curse. And they cannot see the blessings of God. They cannot give the blessings of God because they feel like their life's cursed. So this is reality. People live feeling like there's a cloud over their head, that something goes wrong with everything they do. And I don't know that if that resonates with anyone today. But God does not want us to live as if there's a cloud over our head. He doesn't want us to live afraid of a curse or a jinx. He wants us to be free of those. It may be real to us because we've let it be real to us. But curses and jinxes can be broken. In fact, if you go back in your family tree and you have some issues with your father or grandfather, those generational curses can even be broken. Some of you remember the great baseball player Mickey Mantle, one of the greatest athletes of all time. And he was extremely gifted. Run, hit for average, hit for power, great fielder, great arm. He had all five tools as a baseball player. But there was something very unique about the Mantle family. His grandfather died very young. Mickey Mantle's father died very young. So Mickey Mantle decided that he was just going to live life in the fast lane because he wasn't going to live very long. And he didn't take care of himself. And when he was in his 60s and was ill, he had this message to young people. He said, I'm not a role model. He said, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. Think about that. Mickey Mantle, this guy with boundless, endless talent, he let a generational curse not only cut short his baseball career, but also his life. I don't know if any of you feel like you're under a curse of any type because of your life, because of your genealogy, because of your upbringing, but God wants to break that today. And that's good news, isn't it? In fact, God wants to bring blessing into our life. God wants to bring blessing in our life. God always breaks the generational curse, and he seeks to bring his blessings. And these blessings cannot be broken. Curses can be broken, but these blessings of God can never be broken. Say that with me. These blessings of God cannot be broken. They're there. God's blessings cannot be broken. The COVID-19 cannot do it. All the turmoil in our nation cannot do it. Economics cannot do it. God's blessings cannot be broken. It's about our choices, whether we see those blessings or not. So the best gift a father can give today is to see blessings. To see blessings. They're there. You can take the blinders off and you can see the blessings if you choose to. God has blessed you. Your very life is a blessing. The fact that you're breathing is a blessing. God is blessing you. And you say, well, I've got a lot of troubles. I've got a lot of troubles. Yeah, you probably do. But you got more blessings. You got more blessings. And so, we have to make a choice with our life. Are we going to be about our troubles or our blessings? Troubles or blessings? Which is going to define us? Now, I want to give you just a real practical message here on this point today. We make our choices as to whether we see the blessings or we see the troubles. And some folks just let their troubles get way out of hand and talk about them nonstop, 24/7. Is that any way to live a life, is to talk about your troubles 24/7? Do you think that someone else wants to be around you if you're talking about your troubles nonstop 24/7? I don't think so. Now, as a pastor, I'm a shepherd. I am a listener. I am a spiritual person that the congregation hopefully feels like you can sit down and share your troubles with. But I want you to know today that I do not feel like it is my job to listen to troubles 24/7. I don't think anybody gets that card to where you can just say, I'm going to share with you all my troubles all the time, 24/7, nonstop. Because God wants us to live in his blessings. So we can break that cycle too. Look at the blessings. Secondly, bless your children. If you have children, have you ever blessed them? Have you ever called their name and just said, I want to bless you in your life? It's very biblical. We read all these stories in the Old Testament of giving blessings to children. And the good news is, it's not too late. It's not too late. If you haven't done that, you can still do it. You can call today. In fact, that would be a great response to this message. You may have already done it, but call your children today, this week, and let them know you give your blessing to them. Don't leave it in doubt. Maybe you came close to saying it, but you didn't quite say it. But let your children know you love them and you bless them and their lives. It's never too late. Even when there's been a death, we can forgive our fathers. We can forgive our children. We can still bless their lives, even if it seems too late. Third point is we can bless other people. We can be a blessing to other people. This was the principle of Abraham, Abraham's principle. Blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. And so we can make choices. I'm looking out over this congregation today. I see faces of persons that are blessing others by the choices you're making. You're blessed to be a blessing. And that's a wonderful way to live. Blessed to be a blessing. That you're going to receive and see the blessings of God, and you're going to share those blessings with others. Blessed to be a blessing. This week, I'm going to do something different. For many years, I've compiled a list of 100 blessings at Thanksgiving, and I'm still going to do that. But I want to take a moment every hour this week that I'm awake, and I want to list something that is a blessing to me. I want to list it for every hour I'm awake, and then at the beginning of the next day, I want to review that list, and I want to begin again every hour. It won't take but a second to identify a blessing, but I want to write it down, and at the end of every day, have maybe 16 blessings that I've listed. I also want to live each day very intentionally thinking of one person. How can I be a blessing to that person today? Again, it may not take long, but how can I be a blessing to that person today? Live your life as a blessing. Live your life as a blessing. That's a great way to live. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, began this great sermon with the Beatitudes. And you know how each one of those Beatitudes begins. It begins with the word blessed or blessed. And I invite you to read those this week. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed those who are mourned. Blessed those who are pure in heart. Blessed those who are meek. Blessed those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus began the greatest sermon he ever preached focusing on blessings and blessedness. That's not by coincidence. So today, I invite you to respond to this message by seeing the blessings of God. It's a great gift for your children. Give your blessing to your children. Be a blessing to other people. Live a life of blessing, and even leave a legacy of blessing. How are you and I going to be remembered? Are we going to be remembered as a person that was a blessing to know, a blessing as a friend, a blessing that we were together? Blessed to be a blessing. It's the greatest gift we can give to our children. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this challenge to bless instead of curse. Thank you for this invitation to bless others because of your blessings to us. And even in this time, this extraordinary time in our country, we recognize as we put the brakes on today We are so blessed. Help us now to respond by being a blessing. In Christ's name, amen.